May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text comes from the gospel processional text from John chapter 12. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, it's Palm Sunday. Here comes Jesus riding into Jerusalem. The people are shouting, "Lord, save us." That's what Hosanna means. They're welcoming him like the winner, like we might expect the parade for the Rangers would have looked. Ruler of the world is coming in. This is the guy, the people think. They're going to pin all their hopes on Jesus. Not only is he coming in the name of the Lord, that is, coming with all the authority of the Lord, but they also say he is the King of Israel. Not Herod, not Pontius Pilate, not even the emperor in Rome. This is the King. I mean, he raised Lazarus from the dead. There he is, right over there. What more proof do you need than that? Some of the people in the crowd had no doubt even seen a miracle. Maybe they had received a miracle of healing from Jesus. Maybe some of them had even been at the lunch special of fish and bread, along with thousands of their closest friends. This must be him. And look, he's riding in on a donkey into the king's city, just like Solomon did. King Solomon, he brought prosperity and peace and power to this nation. The kingdom was the greatest it had ever been under Solomon. He couldn't even do any of the miraculous signs that Jesus does. The people must have thought, can you imagine what this Jesus could do for us now? But you can't help feeling, you can't help get the impression that something's just a little off. This seemingly remarkable event didn't even make sense to his disciples initially. Our text says his disciples did not understand these things at first. And when Good Friday comes around, the disciples must have thought Palm Sunday was just a big mistake. But even in the moment of Palm Sunday, something just seems wrong. Think about it logically for a moment. Jesus did all kinds of amazing things. He calmed storms. He even raised people from the dead. Such power. So why is Pilate still sitting in the governor's mansion? Why is this crazy guy, Herod, still claiming to have some kind of authority over us? Why are we still paying Roman taxes? Why are there still Roman soldiers marching around our land, the land that God gave to us, where no Gentile should be? Maybe Jesus is about to do something, but why wouldn't he have done it already? If he's in possession of that much power, why not use it? That's one of the theories surrounding Judas Iscariot, that he became impatient, waiting for Jesus to finally do something, and in order to force Jesus' hand, he betrays him. I mean, the disciples saw the miracles, they heard the teaching, and even if they're not fully on board with Jesus being God, they certainly recognize that Jesus has the power of God, and yet here they are, walking around Galilee and Judea and Samaria for 3 years in the dust and the mess, hardly any place to sleep, out of food sometimes. All the things that Jesus could do, but hasn't. Something's just off. We sometimes feel like that in our Christian walk with God. that sometimes things just seem off. You're probably familiar with the so-called Word of Faith movement. It's very closely related to another trend in Christianity called the Prosperity Gospel. It's sort of a fringe movement within Christianity, but not so fringe anymore, as the tentacles of these ideas just wind their way into all sorts of places. The idea is basically this. If Jesus is king, which he is, and if Jesus is God, which he is, and I'm on his side, I'm on the winning team, that it should look like I'm on the winning team. My life should be a reflection of God's glory and majesty and power in heaven. Things should be going my way because I'm one of Jesus' disciples. I can tap into the power of Jesus by saying positive words, by thinking positive thoughts, and if things aren't right in my life, then something is wrong with me spiritually. I'm not praying enough. I'm not being good enough. I'm not thinking enough positive thoughts. I don't have enough faith. I'm not sending enough money to the right place. And I think, especially for us Americans, this makes a lot of sense. We're used to being a nation that is on the winning side, after all. We're used to relative prosperity relative to other nations. So if I'm on the king's side, I've got it made. It's a devastating theology. What happens when all those good things don't come to pass? I suppose there are two extremes. Either I can think something is very wrong with me, and I'm not worthy of God's love, or perhaps God's just a liar. Doesn't even exist. Likewise, on Palm Sunday, there is a lot of confusion. The disciples don't understand what's going on. The crowd wants an earthly king. The Jewish rulers would just like all this mess to go away. And so how do we make sense of it all? The key is what John says in our text. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. This glorification is the death and resurrection of Christ. Primarily, the glorification is the cross. The cross is what makes all of this make sense. The cross is what makes your life make sense and what makes the life of the church make sense. It's the only thing that clarifies what's going on Palm Sunday, what's really going on. And it's the only thing that clarifies our lives as God's people. Here's what I mean. The Palm Sunday crowd was right to hail Jesus as king, as conqueror, as savior. For Jesus would defeat their enemies, the enemies of sin and death and the devil. As Jesus himself said, his kingdom is not of this world, at least not yet. He has broken the oppression that sin has on you. He has defeated the devil who held you in his clutches. The shouts of Hosanna, therefore, God save us, are appropriate on our lips. And that's exactly what Jesus has done. Save us. On the cross. On the cross. Likewise, our lives as God's children, brothers and sisters of the King, of King Jesus, in many ways, then we would expect to mirror his life. We forgive as he forgave. We put the needs of others above our own needs. We have concern for those who are struggling, especially those who are struggling spiritually with doubt and darkness, those without faith, because Jesus did all of those things. You see, the cross should be our starting point. If we look backwards, if we look back, We can see how the Palm Sunday praise was fitting and appropriate for those people and now for us. We say the same things that the crowds did. Jesus is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our King. And as we look forward from the cross, we see Christ's resurrection. And that has happened. Praise God. But our lives are not there yet. We have been raised spiritually in baptism, and we will be raised bodily on the last day, but we're still waiting. We're still living under the shadow of Christ's cross. You could say our lives are hidden. They're veiled. The glory that Jesus has now seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling all things, that is our glory, but not fully, not yet. Our lives are hidden in the shadow of the cross. When Jesus rose from the dead, he entered into the fullness of his glory, and when we are raised from the dead, we will enter into our full glory, but for now, our lives, who we really are, kingdom, heirs of the kingdom, those lives are hidden. Our lives in this veil of tears, this mortal life, is defined by the cross. The cross is what makes your life make sense. Jesus suffered, you will suffer. The world hated Jesus, they will hate us. From the outside, we kind of look just ordinary. We have our good days and our bad days. We have our ups and downs. We have our joys and our sorrows, just like everybody else does. We do come to church on Sunday mornings, which looks a little strange to some people. We do try to live our lives according to God's law, which many people won't understand. But otherwise, we still get sick. We still have emotional struggles. We still do evil things. We may be rich or poor. We may be lonely or depressed. We may be happy. We may be anxious. But there is a difference. We know that Jesus is King and Lord and Savior. We know what Jesus did. And we know that he is working out all things for the good of those who love him, just as he has promised. First, the cross, and then the empty tomb. The cross is now for you and me, and the empty tomb, your empty tomb, is coming. And the resurrection of all flesh. In a way, the Palm Sunday crowd was too wrapped up in what they thought Jesus could do. Jesus is God. He can do anything. And sometimes we are also too wrapped up in what we think Jesus could do. Well, more specifically, what we think Jesus should do, because that's what we want. Jesus could make me rich. He could make me good looking. He could make me prosperous. He could make me more stable, more healthy. Jesus could do all of those things, and he might. But that's not where we look for assurance. That's not where we look to see if God really loves us. That's not where we focus. We don't put our faith in the coulds. Instead, we put our faith in the dids. What did Jesus do? We are Jesus did people. Jesus did ride in to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Jesus did institute the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus did go to the cross to take on the wrath of God that you and I deserved. Jesus did rise from the dead. Jesus did baptize you. Jesus did forgive you. Jesus did make you his own. And he will raise you on the last day to eternal life. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.